League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The following podcast of The Bench is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI. You can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right. Deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code BENCH101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com. Use promo code BENCH101.
The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and Sportsmap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
That's a great win, guys. That is a great win, and I'm going to tell you why. Because we dealt with so much adversity in that game. And that's a credit to you guys. That's a credit to you guys. To know where we are right now and to go out there and hang tough and win a game like that, that's an unbelievable job. Now, that's just one game, but that's going to get us going. That's what we needed. Now, here's what else we need. We need a couple days away from each other. I'll see you Wednesday.
Well, that was the first this year, that's for sure. It's the first win, so it's the first time that they're going to take a Monday off, completely off. Monday and Tuesday, completely off. Get away from it. Good stuff. I'm kind of torn. I don't know how to feel about that game, if you want to know the truth. You got to be happy for them. They won a game. They can get back now to being, you know, the most arrogant organization in history. Because they did win a game. Honestly, if they would have lost that game, if they pick up that 4th-and-4 and the Colts go on to win that game, then it would have been, oh, no, woe is us. Oh, well, you know what?
Had to get a-
but now they can walk around like that.
We're
peacock.
Division champs, 9-7, 2 years in a row.
Well, I'm hearing 3-3 now. I mean, so they're going to be. And you know, it's just
Buffalo
so funny.
Buffalo starting to look like Buffalo again.
Yeah, that's nice to see. I want to see them, you know, as pitiful as possible, so the Texans can possibly get a win. You know, you got the Cowboys coming. This is Cowboy Week now. So awesome to have Cowboy Week. You know, with these two juggernauts coming after each other and in a battle for supremacy. In the state of Texas, and I guess they're the best two teams in the state of Texas, right? I guess they are.
In pro football?
Overall.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
Who's better?
No, right. Yeah. You know, I don't think Baylor's any better. I don't think Texas. You know, Texas is back, folks. So
Texas is back.
They got out of there with a big 5-point win against an arch rival in Kansas State.
The Aggies 7-point win over
talented
7-point win over Arkansas does not bode well for them being better than the Texans or the Cowboys.
No. So I think these are the best two teams going at it, vying for the, you know, state championship here come Sunday night. So that'll be very interesting to see. It's just like this whole organization. It's meh. I honestly knew. I said in the third quarter when they were up, and they were up big, I was like, this game ain't over yet. This game is not over. There is a lot of time left, and sure enough, that defense, something about this defense that just can't stop anybody when they have to. I mean, I don't know what it is, but they didn't have another team that didn't have either of its tackles, and they got four sacks on Andrew Luck, and JJ was looking great again, and Clowney came to play. That was nice. I guess Clowney needs some kind of a controversial week to get going, but he looked like he brought that same intensity and energy. Yeah. That was cool.
I mean, you are beating third and fourth tackles. It seems like the Texans have faced that all year long. Like third and fourth, the Giants were, for whatever reason, you get a face
the Titans
lesser.
Fourth and fifth.
Yeah, it's they have been, I'm sorry, not the Giants. The Giants were a backup, and then the Titans were like four. Yeah, they've had some very, very fortunate matchups against tackles and injuries. Costanzo hasn't played all year. But what he did was, I mean, that, you know, that game by JJ had some really good snaps, obviously, good reps, and made an impact on the game. I say that. I mean, the Colts went up and down the field offensively at times, especially in the second half. But when you look at what Clowney did, Clowney's ability to attack inside, dart in, and force a tight end to hold on that second and one, to turn it into second and 11, that changed the whole scope of the game. That second one went from being an easy first down to a second and 11, which eventually became a fourth and four, fourth and five, which they failed to convert, and the Texans won the game going the other way. Clowney was really, really good. That is going to be a tough decision. Maybe not. I think it's...
Last week it wasn't all that tough, and now...
It's not a tough decision. You franchise him. Because I'm not giving him an extension.
No, I'm not doing that.
Probably ever.
No.
I think two franchise tags, and then you let him walk. But I know this much. The Houston Texans' secondary was pitiful. I mean, was pitiful in the second half, allowing just catches all over the place. And we're talking about Zach Pascal, who had been on the practice squad. This is even with T.Y. Hilton out. Rodgers, who had been a third wide receiver with the Pittsburgh Steelers at one point, at least for half of a season. But they were getting beat by just a very, very average group. Luck seems like he's back. Deshaun Watson is the real deal. I mean, Deshaun Watson, the plays he made with his legs now, those were critical, critical plays when he left the pocket and hurt teams, which he wasn't doing early on in the season. How about this? How about during the broadcast? This was shocking. We've been talking about this for a couple weeks. Where's the play act? Where's the zone read action? You know, the misdirection. Where is all that stuff? Hey, folks, and Spiro Dito's here along with Moose Johnson. And, you know, one of the things Bill O'Brien told us in the meeting is they want to get back to what Deshaun Watson was comfortable with last year and when he was most successful.
Really?
Why would you get back to it, by the way, in game four?
Really?
What took so long?
It looked like that offense again. It was awesome to see. Oh, my God. Bill O'Brien, finally, misdirection, jet sweeps, fake jet sweeps, fake RPOs, Deshaun outside the pocket, a moving pocket, all the stuff that we've been talking about. What the hell? Honestly, it took four freaking games for Bill O'Brien to wake the frick up and finally do what the hell he was supposed to do all season long.
Why would you get away from it? Game one, okay, fine. You don't want to show people what you did. You know, you don't show them something
different. Why don't you want to win football games? What do you mean? What do you mean you don't want to show anybody? It's a regular season game.
But I understand that you had confidence that Deshaun could handle other stuff, and maybe he couldn't. You must have implemented some things. He didn't do well with them. He was slow to get through reads. He struggled in game one, and New England probably showed him some different looks. Because Bill Belichick, he's probably thinking, Belichick has gone to school on all this stuff. He's all of his practices to do this. We're going to show him something different. Okay, I get that as a coach. Beyond that, start putting it back in. And they didn't put it back in until game four. And then we're going to get back to what we were successful with last year. Why in the world? You've handicapped yourself. Now you're 0-3. Chances of making the playoffs are 2%, 2.7%. Why in the world would you wait this long? That doesn't make any sense at all.
No sense at all. But at least they did. At least he woke up. But we've been saying this for a month. Why would you not do what was successful last? He changed it. He went for Brian Hoyer and Brock Osweiler offense. Why would you do that? But if they won, and now I don't know. It's almost like a joke, though. If you want to know the truth, we watched it over at Revelry, and it was funny. These guys are sitting there watching the game, and the overtime starts, and they all just leave. They're from Austin, but they were Texans fans, and they were. I was like. And this one guy stayed behind, and I was like, well, where'd your buddies go? Oh, they had, you know, they left. I was like, overtime is starting, and they just decided to go. Are you kidding me? That's how uninteresting. The Cowboys, we were over at Revelry. Of course, I think it's a Cowboy bar. I'm pretty sure it is. But they were getting, there was more reaction to that. Of course, the reaction isn't good to that either, to tell you the truth. Although Dak threw over for over 200 yards, so congratulations. Congratulations to the Cowboys. He got over 200 yards.
They didn't get a cover, but they got a win.
But Deshaun, again, a 375-yard, I mean, this is, it's game after game after game now, except it looked different yesterday.
You mean
now,
that he's having to do this?
Well, you know what, that's fine. He threw for 375. He's thrown for 303 straight games. It's unprecedented in Texans history. It's almost an impossibility that this would happen. But it went back to looking like, and I don't know, do we take it with a grain of salt? Indianapolis looked good in Washington. They are the Colts, and they do have their issues. You're right.
They don't.
You want to talk? We talked last week about skill position. They may be the worst skill position team that you'll face in the NFL this year.
Look at the DBs.
No, I'm talking about your offensive weapons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I know.
Yeah.
You got Nyheim Hines, who's a rookie. Jordan Wilkins, who's a rookie.
Pascal.
Zach Pascal. I mean, T.Y. Hilton put on a show before he got hurt. And we'll get to Will Fuller in a second. But, yeah, they're skill position guys. Eric Ebron is making a difference. I think he's got a touchdown in every game.
He goes out and he came back in.
He took a shot, but, you know, where they're hurt right now is their secondary is not good, and their skill position needs to get way, way better.
Way better.
Way better.
They got a lot of work to do. He's got a lot. Chris Ballard's got a lot of work to do there.
Luck looked like he was back.
But Luck looks good.
He looks
good. He looks good. And you know what? He can carry. He did. He carried a team. And oh, by the way, he got a lot of help from the Texans corners. Jonathan Joseph. What the bleep.
He finally crowded up on somebody on the fourth down play.
Finally.
And I was surprised Luck made that throw because he threw to the guy who was crowded up on. I was like, wow, I don't know about this. Aaron Colvin had his head up his ass on the two-point conversion where he was looking around, didn't know. They were zone coverage. That's your man, bro. That's your man right there. And Bernard McKinney was not happy. But the Texans get the win thanks to the offense. Although Watt and Clowney had big games, but that was the offense pulled that one in. I mean, Hopkins, Fuller, just huge, huge games. But Will Fuller is hurt again with a hamstring injury. This soft tissue stuff is a real problem because it usually doesn't go away. He's early in his career, and it's already soft tissue after soft tissue injury.
I don't know. That's frustrating when you hear, oh, Will Fuller again. Good Lord. I'm telling you, he's so slight. I don't know. I guess he put on weight. I guess he did this all. I guess. And I guess he's stronger, but it's inevitable. Dude is going to be on the IR. When they do have him, the Texans, I mean, with Kiki now, how about that game? How about Kiki's game? I mean, how nice was that? You found the guy that exactly we'll see. But, man, they used him. They used him the way they should have. He sets a record for a rookie's debut in catches. Mm-hmm. When you've got those three guys, and you still need a running back, but you actually have some weapons for Deshaun with those guys out there. And hurt again. And D-Hop is playing on no toe. He's got no toes left, apparently. His hamstrings, then. It is unbelievable how freaking banged up and when now you got the Dallas Cowboys in the biggest game in the history of the franchise coming up in this city and you're all banged up again at the wide receiver spot. Of course, it's the Cowboys. Even your defensive backs will look good against this Cowboys receiving crew.
Did you know any of the Colts wide receivers besides T.Y. Hilton before Sunday occurred?
Well, guess what? They were losers. Guess what happened?
No,
guess what?
I'm
guess
aware.
What? You kicked their ass. They couldn't do anything against you.
Well, that seems like a odd interpretation of what happened.
Well, who won the game, Del?
I'm not saying the Texans didn't win, but to say that the Colts receivers did nothing seems like an odd way to go about things.
Luck didn't go over 400.
Yeah.
Zach Pascal, I mean, I was like...
He's a Hall of Famer, though.
I wrote him up from, I think it was like Old Dominion or something. I remember I gave
him a Hall of Famer. There's no way you're going to stop a Zach Pascal.
Why are you bearing the lead, John?
What?
Why are you bearing the lead? Why did you bury the lead?
What he opened with on Fridays getting no mentions
How
on
come
a Monday.
You're bearing the lead.
What?
There's a tremendous effort by the U.S. Ryder Cup team.
The U.S. Ryder Cup team. Don't worry. We're going to talk about the U.S. Ryder Cup team. It's awesome.
Did Tiger and Phil win anything?
They didn't need to.
No, yes, actually, they did.
No, we didn't need Tiger or Phil on the team. Actually, we didn't want them on the team. Why don't you talk? And we got to talk about the decision to go for it on 4th and 4.
Yeah.
We got to talk about...
Two coaches made that decision, by the way.
Yes. And
one cost his team a win, the other guy won it. Two very different things. And we got to talk about overtimes in general. This is I think overtimes are going to be a big problem. We better get ready for more soccer.
Thank God we went to 10 minutes because
it's a poor choice.
It's the worst choice. But again, it's Roger Goodell and it's an idiot move. But again, thanks, Roger.
Would the Texans have a win yesterday? Would the Texans have a win yesterday if he hadn't gone to 10 minutes?
No.
All right, then.
No, the Texans.
Because Wright would have pointed that football if there was more time.
Yeah, no, he absolutely would. All right, why don't you talk about saving people money?
Let me tell you something about my friends who are a bill advisor. The first thing they do is they say, we got to get your bills. So right now, if you're thinking about using Bill Advisor, make sure that you have your bills, either your printed bills or go on the website of whoever your provider is for cell phone, for home phone, for internet, for cable, for satellite. And in many cases, you're going to have a bundled package. That's kind of like what I have. Get that printed up for Bill Advisor. What you'll do is you'll either scan it and send it to them, or you can even take a picture of it on your phone and send it to them. The phone is the new scanner. And once they get it, they'll pour through your entire bill, find where there's any inconsistencies, where they know they can save you, if there's any fees that you're being charged that they eliminate on a regular basis. And then they go to work negotiating on your behalf with the people who are providing you service. And what you're going to find is that in most cases, and the bills I just talked about, they don't want to lose you, especially if you're a good customer who pays on time. That is something that is extremely valuable in business, and they don't want to lose you. So they'll do whatever it takes to keep you. And that usually means going down to new customer rates. And you deserve that. Why can't you hit reset on your rates and get new customer rates? Why do you have to pay the highest rates just because you are a consistent client and a loyal client? Let Bill Advisor lower your bills. On an average, they save over $900 a month. But the fact is, I save $2,000 plus, and I talk to people on a regular basis who save over $2,000. So see what they can do for you. Simply text GO to 232323 and they'll get started for you. That's GO to 232323. It's BillAdvisor.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. All right, so I think we missed a couple of the leads here today. Let's start with number one. People feel strongly about this both ways. I had an argument with my buddy, but he's like, screw a tie, blah, blah. And Andrew Luck and every player in that locker room said, screw the tie. I want to win. I'd rather lose than tie.
I respect it.
It's okay.
You're the Colts.
Except, I get it. He goes, my buddy's like, would you go for two or would you kick the extra? I said, this is totally different. It's a totally different scenario. It's 4th and 4 on your own side of the field. And if you don't get it, it's not as easy to get it as a 2-point conversion.
The component wasn't tied.
And yeah, by the way, that is even if you make 4th and 4, you're still not guaranteed of winning.
No, and that was a bad argument by your buddy. You're right, because the component about would you go for 2 or would you? Well, if you kick the extra point, you can just tie.
Right.
Right. If you go for it on the other end and you don't get it, not only will you very likely will lose because you hadn't stopped anybody and Deshaun Watson was going up and down the field. You had control. You could have controlled. I guess the argument would be that you could control it as well if you're the Houston. I guess the argument was punting is like kicking the extra point. I guess that's the argument. Yeah. I guess that's
we're
not
just
that
conceding.
Bad
you argument. Know what? It's just okay. And I guess it's a mindset. I get it.
The Colts are they were a terrible team last year. They want to go out and win. But I tell you what, I like the fact that there's a coach who says, "Yeah, we really don't want to play for tie." Mike Vrabel said, "Ryan Suckups, who's been a good NFL kicker, could have kicked it was a 50-51 yard field goal, and he just said, "Nah, we're going for it on 4th and 2. We're not gonna punt. We're gonna try to get the win." And they ended up getting a win. I don't think.
However, he
want-
still had a chance. That wasn't win or lose, though. That decision wasn't win or lose.
No, you're right, because the Philadelphia still would have had plenty of time.
Yeah.
I mean, if he missed it, it was a loss. But right. But yeah, you would or no, because they both had.
Well, no, Philly was up.
Philly was up by 3.
Yeah.
So they were going to lose if they didn't get.
If
the
they didn't
down.
Get the two, if they didn't get the 2 yards. Yeah. Okay, but again, they're driving on their side of the field,
and they're down. They weren't tied. So I get the win or loss thing, but you're on your side of the field. That's a decision between kicking a long field goal or going for a. Continue to go on for a win. By the way, if you get the first down, you still have a chance to kick a field goal later if things don't go your way.
Didn't they convert three fourth downs in that drive?
They converted 2.
2.
They converted a long. So here's what they did. They had a 4th and 15. The game should have been over, and people who were laying 3 should have got pushes. Okay, that should have happened. Instead, what happened was, or people who were laying 3.
Who are these people? By the way,
people laying 3.5 who had teasers should have got wins. Instead, what happened was, who's Graham? Who's the dummy corner named Graham over there? Because it was 4th and 15, and he allowed a pass on the sideline 16 yards to Corey Davis for a first down on the 4th down. Then they had 3rd and 15, and they let Mariota scramble up for 13 yards where it was just 4th and 2, and then they converted the 4th and 2 with a little dump off down the right side to Deion Lewis. And then there was another. Maybe there was
3.
There was another 4th down
there
conversion.
There were 3 in that drive.
Because they were going for the win.
Yep. There were 3 in that drive. And they got it. I see both sides.
You know, Brian.
But I see both sides. But here's the deal. 1-2, you can't. It's inarguable. A tie is better than a loss. No, it's not. A tie. You still, and in this division, you still have a chance. If you're 1-2-1, you still got 1-3. You don't have nearly as good a chance. And you still, I know that you want to set a tone and a mindset on a team, and we believe in you guys and all that stuff. There's a risk reward. It's the same with Bill O'Brien, with the challenges. It's a coaching decisions. There's risk and there's reward, and you have to measure those two things. If they would have completed the 4th and 4, he would look like a genius. Instead, he looks stupid.
Well, he's got to live with it, and I think he's okay with that. I think he's okay with living with it. And you know, if Bill O'Brien was faced the same situation and he punts the ball, everyone in Houston, for the most part, would have said, and we would have probably said, you know, it's tough, but you would have probably given up the loss. We would have used common sense. The general fan, though, you know what they would have said? Classic Bill O'Brien. Classic, you know, run you right into a tie. This is the most Texans thing ever. Classic Bill O'Brien. And that's what it would have been. For the Colts, they don't face that same thing. Frank Reich doesn't, you know, Bill O'Brien and the Texans have people pissed off here. Frank Reich and the Colts have hit a reset, but the Colts fans are not happy, and they can't be happy with the way that one went down. That's one that if you got to have balls to do that one, because if it doesn't work, you know that everyone's going to talk that mess.
Okay, what would the reaction be? What you think? Okay, we got Richard Justice coming up at the bottom of the hour because we're going to talk Astros baseball because we got a winner here. Okay, we got a real winner here, and that's Astros baseball.
Oh, we got a bunch of winners. Skeeters, Dynamo, Texans, and the Astros. We got tons of winners.
Rockets,
here.
You forgot.
When they start playing.
Thundersticks, you forgot. Listen, so you think if Bill O'Brien had done that and come up short, do you know, no, the vitriol that would have happened to Bill O'Brien?
If Bill O'Brien had punted or gone for it.
Either
it
way,
not,
he
would not have been.
Bill O'Brien couldn't win either.
He couldn't have won that.
Either way.
You know what? He needed Frank Reich to win this week.
Yes.
I mean, he needed Frank Reich.
He had to have Frank Reich.
In our check mark strengths and weaknesses, does he get the check mark over Frank Reich?
I don't even know. I'm pretty sure that one's too hard.
I do remember a wide receiver screen on 2nd and 10 when you're trying to score a touchdown to win the game.
No, that was 3rd and 10.
The 3rd and 10, he threw it out of bounds because there was no one open.
Oh, that's right. There was a wide receiver screen on 2nd and 10 to Kiki QT out there. I was like, did he just throw short side of the field wide receiver screen? What was that? Alfred Blue, time's ticking down. Like, let's give the ball to Alfred Blue, see if we can grind out a yard or two. Oh, like, what are you doing?
All right, let's talk right now about sexual wellness. That's what we need to talk about. And then Richard Justice is going to join us on the other side to talk about the Astros, which is different than sexual wellness. Here's the deal. You can't fake it. If you're having trouble, you cannot fake it. And there's so many guys will do weird things, I guess, but listen, there's one easy, inexpensive way to do this. It's go to 4hymns.com, put in, it's 4hymns.com/John5, 4hymns.com/John5. How about $5? The first month will be just $5. While supplies last, see website for full details. It would cost you hundreds of dollars if you went to a doctor and then the pharmacy, because that's where the doctor's going to send you afterwards, and you're going to pay for those expensive, expensive pills. These are generic lookalikes using the same ingredients that you're using on the really, really expensive ED pills. No waiting room. No awkward in-person doctor visits. No line. Okay. 4hymns.com/John5. You will talk to a doctor, and he'll answer a few quick questions for you online. You can do it at your own leisure and not have to take off to work to go to the doctor. 4hymns.com/John5. This is the answer, guys. Get this job done. 4hymns.com/John5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame you, Don.
Houston is all systems go.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, you know what that song means. Time to talk about our Houston Astros. Richard Justice from MLB.com joining us right now. And MLB Network. He's a television superstar right here to talk about the big postseason that's starting tonight, actually. Richard, welcome in. How are you?
Good morning, John. How are you?
So this is weird. This is interesting what's going on over in the National League. Let's start there, Richie. You would usually, it's a one-game deal on Wednesday, right? Tuesday, it's a one-game deal, so you've got to throw your best. Jose Quintana throwing tonight with his 409, and I guess the Brewers haven't decided yet. We haven't seen who they're going to throw. I mean, this is kind of a weird way that we're going about this with two division titles on the line here.
It is never happened before. The big boys took care of business yesterday. Quintana, I think, is getting that start because he's been really good against Milwaukee. Really dominant against Milwaukee. And, you know, what's interesting in the other game, the Rockies and the Dodgers, they're both starting kids. German Marquez is going for the Rockies. He's a kid, and he's 23 years old. And Walker Buehler for the Dodgers, he just turned 24 years old. But there hasn't been a better pitcher in baseball than Buehler this month. And I think it just speaks to the the trend we're seeing in the game. I mean, you know, Atlanta has used six 20-year-old pitchers this year. And it changed. I think it changed with Harper. It just teams just put their kids, bring their kids up, and let talent figure it out. You know, there was a time the Astros were in camp one year, and they had a kid named Troy Patton. I think he was 20 at the time or 19, and they told Phil Garner, "Don't even look at that kid." And that wouldn't be the case now. They would say, and Phil's point at the time was, "He's got talent, and I think I know how to nurture a kid's talent and put him in position to succeed and protect his confidence." Well, what you're seeing now is it's left and right. Just bring your kids up and let them play.
Richard Justice with us here on ESPN 97.5. It's huge now to win these games for both these teams, right?
Yeah, because you don't want to go into the team that loses today, the two teams that lose, they play tomorrow, right?
Right.
In the wild card game.
Right.
Yeah, and so you got to turn around and make it. And the Dodgers, so the Dodgers clinch the playoff berth Saturday night. And so you see the TV shots of the champagne, the beer, yay. It actually went on about 5 minutes, and Matt Kemp said, "Okay, that's enough. Take the plastic down. Let's shower. We got to go home. We got business to take care of." So, and the point was, celebrate it, but then move on. It's I think we saw this coming in the National League, because during the whole year you could not figure out who was the best. In the American League, you could just look and say, okay, we know four of the five teams that are going in. Cleveland, Houston, the Yankees, and Boston are all going, and we don't know who the fifth is, but we're pretty sure about the top four.
Honestly, you can make an argument that the five American League teams are better than every team in the National League.
Right, you could. The other side of that would be the talent that Houston, New York, and Boston got their 100 wins against, you know, a lot of teams are rebuilding, so we don't know. You know, and it's going to come down to what pitching is dominant. I'm telling you, as we start this thing, the Astros are the best team, and it's not even close. I mean, what they needed in Baltimore was to see Correa hit a couple of balls hard,
mm-hmm.
and to see Charlie Morton maintain his velocity. Those two things happen, and they got the heck out of town. Now, you know, Altuve, you know, the offense has been spotty. But I don't know that we've ever seen a pitching staff in a long time be better than this one. And, you know, the Astros go into the playoffs a year ago, and there's a million questions about the bullpen. I mean, that A.J. Hinch won a World Series without a bullpen he could count on is pretty phenomenal. And now they have – this is a smothering bullpen. And we'll see. You know, Verlander doesn't have a good record against the Cleveland Indians. And Cleveland might be the second-best team. You got to go do it. You know, it doesn't mean anything but they've accomplished everything they wanted to accomplish up to now.
You talked about, Richard, the getting Correa going, getting him to hit a couple balls hard. He did. And, you know, unless anyone thought that Carlos Correa wasn't as stressed as the rest of us, you know, his responses to his hits and having a good, strong performance, a good game, getting his 15th homer, the celebration he had in the dugout where he literally was. It was just, you could tell he was just, oh.
Well, these guys are wound tightly, and you can see, I mean, you see at certain points during the year with Springer, when he would get a blue pit, and it looked like the weight of the world went off his shoulders. And when you win the World Series, your dynamics change, you know, and you wonder, the one thing I think A.J. Hinch and everybody wanted to see is, do we care as much? You know, when you climb the mountaintop, how do you climb it again? Well, when you look at all those guys, Altuve got a contract, but other than all those position players, they haven't really made their money yet. They're still climbing the mountain, and I think I think it always starts with Springer and just the way he plays. I think they maintain. They're kind of got a swagger to them now in Bregman, but yeah, I mean, they feel personally responsible to each other. It's a pretty cool team dynamic to be around. And what Correa went through, I don't think he'd ever been through in his career. You know, he couldn't get the ball in the air. He couldn't hit the ball hard. And you wonder, was it his back? Did he develop bad habits with the leg and all of that? So we'll see. You know, it'll be interesting to see where A.J. bats him in the order. I mean, I'm sure it won't be any higher than six because you just can't count on him. Right now, the two guys that you can count on are Gurriel and Springer and Bregman, the three guys. And you know, I assume Altuve will get going when they get in the playoffs.
We hope. We hope. Richard Justice with us here on ESPN 97.5. Where does Verlander finish on your Cy?
I'm not supposed to say, but he didn't. He's not any. He's not lower than first.
So,
well, I mean, look. You have to look. I think Blake Snell's going to win. But I think you have to. When you look at the innings, doesn't work. And I was surprised to see Justin so passionate about making a case for himself. Like, to me, it's worth something when you take the ball and go out there and you pitch 220 innings. And look, Blake Snell's been phenomenal. And it'd take nothing away from him, and Chris Sale and all those guys. But this guy did it. He went out and did it, and they could count on him. That, you know, baseball players will tell you the highest compliment you can give is when they see the lineup card every day and they see Justin Verlander's name on there. They think, we're going to win today. And that's how I'm telling you, it's like they were a really good team last year when he walked in that clubhouse door. And Brian McCann and others will tell you, he changed this room. And it was not unlike what you guys saw with Clemens and Pettit. Like, getting to the playoffs was not their goal. They didn't care about that. It was, what are you going to do? You know, the season starts in October. And I think Justin brought some of that. When he goes out, he expects to win.
What would be your rotation? We've seen that it's going to be Kluber and Carrasco. What's your Astros rotation for the Indians?
Oh, I'm not going to overthink it. I'm going to put the two big boys first. Verlander and Cole are going to go first. And I think you will prefer Keuchel pitching on the road. The interesting one to me would be, do you want Charlie Morton pitching third or fourth? Do you feel confident enough in his shoulder to give him two starts in the postseason? You know, and then, like, do you keep Josh James on your playoff? You get, you know, six of the they're going to keep seven relievers. Six of them are set in stone. But so do you keep Josh James? Do you keep Tony Sipp? Who's that last guy? That Josh James is so intriguing. You know, when you throw 98 and you throw it up in a guy's face and then you come back with a slider low and away, you can see hitters react like, well, he's better than me. I'm going to go sit down. So,
yeah.
Yeah, they're really good. I mean, this guy – now, one of our analytics people did ran the numbers before the trade deadline and said, he told me, he said, I'm telling you, they're going to get Ryan Presley. He's Charlie Morton. They see the spin rate and the pitch usage, and they're going to say, we can take that guy and turn him into the best reliever in baseball. They've come pretty close to doing that.
Yeah, no, he's for sure. Yeah, it's going to be 14 position. I thought it would be 13 and 12, and then it makes it a little bit easier. Will Harris, you're going to have to leave off, even though he has pitched well of late.
Right.
You still don't have any room for him.
It's going to be tough.
And you heard what Oakland's going to do in the wild card game. Oakland's going to have they're going to keep one starting pitcher and 11 relievers. They're just going to throw a reliever an inning. And – you know, that's different than the opener where Tampa pitches a closer in the first inning because the first inning is your highest scoring inning and all that blah, blah, blah. You know, you don't want your starter to face the big boys three times and all of that stuff. But what hitters will tell you, and I've heard it from J.D. Martinez, I've heard it from some of the Astros, is it freaks you out when you have to face a different pitcher every inning or, you know, go into a game planning for four pitchers because these guys are so organized in their thought. And I think the Tampa people say unsettling when the way you go into it. So all hell's going to break loose if the A's beat the Yankees, and it's going to be the funnest thing to watch you've ever seen.
I just baseball really is really amazing to me because of the disparity, and you know, teams have had to, it's almost like high school football where you lack you lack a certain amount of talent, or you lack, in this case, you know, because it's disparity in payroll has necessitated what became Moneyball, because you got to go find value. You got to do the most with what you have. It's amazing how innovative baseball has become, where they have truly just jumped outside of the box, and they're doing so many things outside of the box now in that sport. And they've just cast aside the old school ideas that, nope, this is how the game is played. And they've all basically just said, not all, but some teams basically now, Richard, just say, no, we're going to do what makes the most sense from a number standpoint, and we're going to be true to that, and we're not deviating.
Yeah, and you see, Tampa Bay got better. I think they won 89 games. They got rid of everybody, but they believed in their young talent. And this thing about pitching So the most runs in a baseball game is scored in the first inning. The fewest runs is scored in the ninth. And they decided to treat the first inning like the ninth. Throw a closer, and then our starter can face. A starter doesn't have to go more than twice through the lineup. And also, where you would normally have their young pitchers building up their arms in the minor leagues, you're having them throw an inning or two in the major leagues. And the weird thing about it was they wanted to do this for a couple of years, but, you know, they had Odorizzi, they had starters. And they had no doubt that it was going to work, and that it was going to work phenomenally, and that everybody else was going to copy it. And it is interesting. Do you guys think it's bad for the game to have seven pitchers used in a game?
No. I don't think you want it on a regular basis, though. I think it's bad for the game on a.
If you do it a couple of times through the rotation,
like the postseason, I have no.
But if you don't, I'm with you. If you don't have those now, the Astros, this is a different deal. When you had five or six solid.
I do think it's bad for the game because here's why: if that becomes your modus operandi, then I think it's bad for the general fans who say, "I can't get behind." I think it's a big deal to have a good rotation and a good starting rotation. Yeah. I think it's good for the fans to have that. If everything, you know, Rockets basketball, and I'll tell you why. Jeff Van Gundy says this, basketball's just kind of not as fun with all of the math that's in it when it's all threes and, like, it's taken some of the personality out of the game where it has become simply by the numbers. Well, three is greater than two, and so that's what we'll do.
Right.
I do think you can hurt your sport a little bit, even if you're making it the most efficient it can be.
Do you think it's bad for the game when the hitters go up wanting to get the ball in the air? Craig Biggio and I've had this conversation many times. You know, line drives on the ground. I said, Craig, that's not what they're teaching anymore. Mm-mm. That's not what they're teaching your kid at AA and AAA. Mm-mm. Like, get the ball in the air. That's where the runs are scored.
Yep.
Do you have a problem with the strikeouts and home runs?
It's not, apparently people do. I mean, you see the attendance down, Rich. I mean, you see.
Well, no, the attendance is down. There was a bad April, but attendance is down in places like Miami where the team is not any good. Right. The teams that are good, the attendance is great.
Yeah, I think it's the disparity. People aren't going to bad teams anymore.
Yeah, but how many? Right. You're right. But how many of those great teams? I mean, well, Oakland was one of the great teams, so that doesn't count. But right. I mean, but it's. I don't know. Are people turned off by all the strikeouts? I don't know.
Does it bother you when you're watching a game?
I don't. It's not as good a brand of baseball. It's just not. When
I don't even notice it when I'm there. Like when you're into a game. I think this is in the postseason. When you're in, like, after the postseason was over last year, I realized that Brian McCann went to the mound 400 times a game. But you know why they did that? Because they think the sign stealing in the age of electronics is through the roof. And I'm telling you, there are teams that think the Astros are doing a pretty good job of that themselves. So, you know, there was a game last year against Oakland where Jonathan LaCroix was not giving a sign from behind the plate. And I said to him the next day, I said, you were not given a sign. And he said, well, I was not given a sign that you could see. And I went, the game within the game. That's cool.
Yeah. Alex Cora, they said, used to be really good at finding things.
Oh, yeah.
So that'll be interesting to keep an eye on the Red
Sox.
Yeah.
That's okay, that part of it. But, like, I think what the Yankees what the Astros thought when they were playing at Yankee Stadium is there's 5,000 cameras.
Oh, and that's illegal.
Yeah.
Well, but the Red Sox were doing it last year. From a laptop back down the hall to an Apple Watch in the dugout to a coach to the hitter, that's too many voices. Oh. You're going to get somebody killed there. The signal is going to get mixed by the time you get there. But you know what? It still comes down to, like, we get to see George Springer play baseball.
That's right.
And that's as good as it gets.
Hey, how'd that work out for Boston? Yeah. before you go, quickly. Who does Oakland throw? Is it Fiers or Jackson? Who?
They're going to start a guy named Liam Hendricks, and he's going to pitch one inning, and then they're going to
go. What about the Yankees?
One inning, one inning, one inning, one inning. They're going to keep one starter. No, they don't want. They've looked at all their starters and decided we have one of the great bullpens that's ever been constructed. We're going to throw a bullpen game at Yankee Stadium, and I guarantee you, if you're the Yankees, you are freaked out about this because you don't feel great about your starters, but you don't have a bullpen as good as theirs. And what Bob Melvin would say was, like, hey, we're going to play to our strengths. And it's different. It's odd. But we had a chance to win the game. Like Oakland, the rotation's not very good. We know that. But they play the best defense you've ever seen. The third baseman is one of the great defensive players ever. Their bullpen is the best in the game. And their defense and their offense, they hit the ball over the fence. They're a good team.
Yep, yep. All right, hey, we got a break there. We are way behind. We appreciate you, Richie. Great stuff. Let's talk to you again about during this thing.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks, Richard.
Richard Justice with us here on ESPN 97.5.
I'll hit you with Men's Tee Clinic. We'll do it now because we're running late because of Richard, but that's great stuff.
I know you.
You know, we got, if you guys want
testosterone up, that's why.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why you're going to hit people.
So whether it's baseball, football, whatever, 713-780-3776. You guys jump in now. We'll get you on here on the other side. At Men's Tee Clinic, they make sure your testosterone level is where it's supposed to be. If it's not, you're going to know. Your quality of life will have dipped. It can be an energy level. It could be how your body processes your workouts. You have belly fat where you once had kind of lean muscle mass. That's a classic sign of lower testosterone. So is an inability to get the energy to have the drive, whether it's the workplace or the weekend, whether it's for your job or for fun. You should be able to have that certain level of excitement. You don't want that funk in your life where you can't get going. There's just something there that's kind of clouding you. It can have an effect on libido. You just don't have the same desires that you had before. It's just all kind of blah. And get rid of that blah. That's not who you are. Get back to being the real you. You can do that with Men's Tee Clinic. If testosterone is your issue, then get treated, get your testosterone levels back to where they should be, and get back to being the real you. There's four locations in Houston, so no excuses. Pearland, Pasadena, you've got a location in the Heights and a location in Cypress. Make sure that you find the location that's nearest you and find out about the company at mensteeclinic.com.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.